Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 146 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling You Can't Beat Riverfest for Dam Education. This is the third year the Washington Grain Commission has helped sponsor a Riverfest event. The first one was held in Boyer Park, 20 miles from Colfax. The last two have been held in Columbia Park in Kennewick, which is ironic because it's the Pasco Chamber of Commerce which organizes the affair. But the venue is great, right next to the Columbia River, flat with trees, not to mention restrooms and plenty of space for parking. The third Riverfest event was bigger and better than the first two, and the numbers were up. An estimated 4,200 individuals came to learn about how the dams on the Lower Snake River, indeed the entire Columbia Snake River system, help maintain salmon and a multi-use water corridor that facilitates transportation, irrigation, recreation, and flood control. In addition to its sponsorship, the Grain Commission's contribution to the Riverfest event is a wheat box. Think of a large sandbox filled with wheat. Anybody who has ridden in the back of a farm truck during harvest knows that wheat provides a sensory experience that surpasses sand, and somehow the kids who spot the box understand that. Children don't just play in a wheat box, they luxuriate. I have photos on the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page of the fun at this year's Riverfest. Be sure to check them out. And while you're there, please like or follow the Washington Grain Commission, as it is one more way for you to get weekly updates on the podcasts I'm posting and other WGC information. In honor of Riverfest, I'm running the first Wheat All About It contest. On the WGC Facebook page, you'll also find a photo of the decal that we gave away at the event. It is a one-of-a-kind sticker that every farmer should place on the dash of his or her truck, water bottle, refrigerator, computer, tablet, or smartphone. In the shape of a shield, the decal reads, "I'm a damn hero," with an illustration of a Lower Snake River dam, and under that, in smaller letters, the words, "Washington Grain Commission Crew." These decals not only serve as conversation starters, but also as daily reminders that when it comes to saving the dams, we're all in this together as dam heroes. I'm offering these self-adhesive decals to listeners who convince others to take the plunge and subscribe to Wheat All About It, the only podcast in the nation dedicated to our favorite crop. The more listeners you sign up, the more decals you will receive. That's right, get a single friend to subscribe and I'll make you a damn hero. Sign up 10 additional subscribers and you not only become a damn hero yourself, you'll be a damn fine friend to the 9 other individuals you share the stickers with. I have worked in agriculture long enough to trust the honor code, so this is the deal. Email me how many new listeners you succeeded in subscribing to the podcast, and I'll mail you back the corresponding number of decals. The address to write is WAAI, that's for Wheat All About It, at wagrains.org. Once again, the email is WAAI at wagrains.org. Now, on to the show. Rachel Little is Benton Conservation District's outreach coordinator as well as a salmon biologist. Although I've spoken to her over the phone before, I've never met her in person until this year's Riverfest event held September 7th, 2019. From a podcaster's perspective, Little is fantastic because she speaks well, says what she means, and isn't afraid of the fallout. Truth be told, we spoke long enough standing beside the WGC wheat box that I could have devoted the entire episode to our conversation. Altogether, I spoke with 20 people at Riverfest, mostly those who had come to enjoy the event, but also some exhibitors and organizers. Little was one of those organizers and much more. It's rare to run into an individual who knows what she believes and Little believes without reservation that the dams on the Columbia Snake River system should stay right where they are. She came to her appreciation for dams at her father's knee. He was a hydrologist, and as a child, she remembers being the only first grader who came to school with a dam book. Or rather, a book on dams. As adults and children walked through the exhibits, musicians played from a nearby stage and a tug cruised by on the river. I ask Little a provocative question. Do dams bear the responsibility for the decline in salmon numbers?
The original reason why we don't have millions of salmon in the Columbia River system now is not because of the dams, but because of the salmon canning industry. People think Washington State was built on the backs of the timber industry. No. Washington State, all those coastal towns, all those towns along the Columbia River were built on the backs of salmon. Those all used to be canning hatcheries. There were so many fish in the rivers then, the rivers would run black with the number of fish, that they didn't have the scientific understanding of this fish's life cycle. They didn't have the scientific understanding that there were different species of fish. And by lacking that scientific understanding, they didn't know how many fish was too much to catch. And all they saw were dollar signs swimming by. So they set up fish wheels that fish 24/7. The advent of steam. They go from sailing ships to steam-driven vessels. They could fish a lot harder and a lot longer. They fished for salmon like crazy. And that's what's caused the crash of the original salmon population. They fished them so hard that the original salmon population never recovered. And that happened in the late 1800s, long before any of the dams were built on the Columbia or Snake River. So R.D. Hume wrote a book. He was made his fortune in the salmon canning industry. He was so concerned about salmon being overfished, he wrote about the imminent threat of extinction of salmon, and it was published in 1893. Bonneville, the first dam on the Columbia River system, wasn't built until 1938. It's not dams that have led to the crash of the salmon population. It was such severe overfishing early on that the salmon runs could not recover before the habitat started to degrade.
And so are we being successful in terms of increasing the population of salmon on the Columbia and Lower Snake?
What's tricky about salmon is their population naturally fluctuates. You naturally have surges and you naturally have some depressions. They're cyclical by nature, and they have been throughout as long as there have been salmon, right? So we might have a low year. Next year might be a good year. So to say that there's a one exact trend is really hard to do scientifically. Another thing that's really difficult about salmon is they live most of their life in the ocean. Their freshwater areas, the freshwater habitats that we control, they really spend very little of their life here. A four-year-old fish is spending only a matter of months in the freshwater system. So what we're experiencing now is a dip in the salmon populations that most scientists would strategize are coming from warm ocean conditions. And that sounds very simple. You think, well, why does a little warm water bother them? But it relates to their food chain.
And what about the accusation that the dams on the Lower Snake are contributing to the decline of the orcas over in Puget Sound?
I think that accusation is very far-flung and not realistic and not based in science. So the orcas have bigger problems than Snake River fish. If you follow the news carefully, and you have to follow it very carefully because a lot of stories are not widely publicized, every single year there are multiple spills of millions of gallons of raw sewage emptying directly into Puget Sound.
And chemicals, too.
Orcas, it's been documented that orcas have high levels of toxic chemicals in their blood and body tissues, as well as pharmaceutical-grade chemicals. You cannot tell me that swimming in raw sewage is not a bigger problem than which fish they might eat out of the Snake River.
Ah, yes. Swimming in raw sewage. Doesn't it sound delightful? Kristen Mara is Executive Director of the Pacific Northwest Waterways Association. PNWA is an advocate for funding for navigation projects around the region, including those on the Columbia Snake River system. My boss, Glenn Squires, serves on the board's executive committee. I asked Mira what was the outcome that she wished for from events like Riverfest.
This just really raises awareness here in the Tri-Cities area and beyond for folks who see the rivers but may not understand all they provide for us.
Is there a way that we can measure the impact of something like this?
They'll definitely have counts of how many people arrived here this year, and it looks to me like it's bigger and better than ever.
And so what would you like people to leave here? What knowledge would you like them to leave here with?
So often we take for granted all that we have here in the Northwest, and to know that our rivers are not just a place to get out and have fun and have recreation, but also it's how we participate in world trade. It's how we have clean, renewable energy. It's how we get water for our crops. There's so many things that our rivers provide to us, and Riverfest is a great way to learn about that.
Why the emphasis on young people?
As more and more people move to the beautiful Pacific Northwest from around the country, we know it's really important to spread the word about, again, all that our rivers provide to us, and what better way than encouraging our youth to make that connection, that personal connection to the river. That's what this is all about.
I interviewed a number of exhibitors at the festival and learned a lot myself in the process. Take my conversation with Kelly Ray of Energy Northwest, a company that generates the bulk of its electricity from a nuclear power plant located not far from the Tri-Cities. But the company's also expanding into other carbon-free generation sources. I asked Ray what events like Riverfest mean for Energy Northwest.
So this is a great community event that we have going on today, and we're really here to show our support for the Columbia River hydro system, and Energy Northwest is a big part of that. We have hydro, nuclear, solar, and wind in our portfolio, and what we're here today is to talk about our carbon-free, our full-time energy, and nuclear integrates so well with renewables, especially hydro. So we're really happy to be here today.
So is Energy Northwest primarily nuclear, or is it, what is the percentage of your energy demand?
So the majority of our energy is nuclear. We produce about 1,200 megawatts at Columbia Generating Station, which is just north of Richland. But we also have about 90 so megawatts in wind, about 60 in hydro, and then a very small percentage of solar. But that aspect is going to be growing here soon. We have a project that we're working on that with Patelco and the City of Richland, where we're going to be constructing a new solar and battery storage facility just north of Richland, Horn Rapids area. And that'll provide about 4 megawatts of solar and a megawatt of battery storage. So, again, very excited to be producing this clean carbon-free energy for our region.
How lucky we are to live in a region where carbon-free energy sources are growing rapidly. I read recently that as a result of these new energy sources, the world may use less oil than the year before by 2035. Not far from the Energy Northwest booth stood Ron Mitchell in an exhibit at the other end of the electricity delivery spectrum, Benton Rural Electric Association. I asked Mitchell why it was so important for his association to have a presence at Riverfest.
We're here to support our dams and rivers. We are a small electrical utility, Benton Rural Electric Association, and so we sell power to our members, and our members are our owners, so we're here on behalf of supporting the dams. It's great for our community. It keeps the cost of electricity down low, and so we're in support of that.
And what are you hoping that people take away from coming to your booth today?
Well, we have our electric vehicle here, and we support all renewable energy. So pushing for green energy too, which the hydroelectric dams are just that. So we're pro dams and want to get that message out there.
when it comes to why the board of the Washington Grain Commission allocated $10,000 towards sponsoring Riverfest, I can think of no better guiding principle than Mitchell's. We're pro-dams, and we want to get that message out there. Yep, that's it exactly. Joe Saxon, Chief of Public Affairs for the Corps of Engineers Walla Walla District, was spending time at the Corps' exhibit near the river at Riverfest. I had just come from a booth representing another arm of the federal government where the representative told me his branch had no opinion on the dams. Theirs was one of providing unbiased information only. So I asked Saxon if the Corps had an opinion about the dams. He began by enumerating their benefits.
We provide hydropower, which is a clean, renewable, efficient energy source. We provide navigation. We help to move 10 million tons of goods up and down the Snake River and the Columbia Rivers. And that those goods are worth about $3 billion. And so you have foodstuffs, you have wood products, and you also have fuel. And so that helps the economy of a place like the Tri-Cities. And we also provide recreational benefits to a number of different areas. Columbia Park, where we are today, enjoying this nice event, is a benefit of having a facility like the Columbia Park within the Tri-Cities region. And so we're just happy to be able to provide those services to the nation.
And why come to this event today? What is in it for you?
Well, we're hoping that people will educate themselves on what happens with dams. There are a lot of folks who have differing opinions on what dams provide, what they don't provide, and so this is an opportunity for them to come out and hear some of the things that dams do, and in that way we're hoping folks will be able to be informed and to make up their own minds concerning moving forward on what should happen with dams.
And so you don't have a point of view, the Corps does not have a point of view on whether dams are good or bad?
Well, we think dams are a benefit to the nation. We think that between the hydropower that they provide, the navigation of benefits that accrue to communities and the recreational opportunities that they provide, that dams are a good thing for the nation.
You heard it here, folks. Dams are a good thing for the nation. Certainly federal dams are anyway, which are built for multiple reasons and which are continually being retrofitted with the best fish passage technology in mind. The next five people you'll be hearing from I interviewed near the wheat box while grandparents and parents watched their children play. The wheat box, by the way, has large banners around it with facts extolling the dam's benefits to agriculture and the state. As part of the interviewing process, I told people my name, who I was with, and why I was asking questions. I did just that, thrusting my microphone into a young man's face when he said he knew the podcast. I was thrilled, of course, but I wondered how he knew.
I know wheat all about it because I'm a fourth-generation wheat farmer.
All right.
I'm Brian Bauman, and I heard about it in Egg Forestry.
Of course, yep. Brian. Ryan, nice to see you again. I don't recognize you. Look at all these kids. Oh, my goodness. So why are you here today?
We're here to learn about how our waterways help us in all aspects of life, in entertainment and in transportation and in recreation and through power generation, and the list goes on and on.
So how many kids do you have with you here today?
So we've got three kids. My oldest is five, and my middle is three. And our youngest is about 14 months.
All right. And this is a boy or a girl back here?
We've got our oldest is a girl, and then we've got two more boys.
You're going to have a farmer in there, aren't you?
Yeah. They loved harvest a couple of weeks ago, and then we just walked out this morning to one of our fields and saw the wheat that's planted for next year already up.
That's what it's about, folks. The passage of seasons and the passage of the farming baton to a younger generation. It was great to see Brian, whose father David I know. He really sums up the stakes for the future. Farming is not the way people get rich, but it is the way people have rich lives. The dams help make those lives possible. Picking people to interview is a bit of an art, and of course I interviewed about four times as many people as you're hearing from in this podcast, But there are some people I have a hunch about, and it was my hunch that Jim Easley, an older gentleman, had a soundbite in him I wanted to get out. I asked why he'd come to the event.
I'm here because of the Riverfest. I want to show support for our dams. I definitely don't want the dams to be removed from the Columbia.
Now, you're old enough probably to remember when the dams weren't there. Why do you think the dams need to stay?
Well, for the energy resources primarily, and the fish hasn't changed any. We still have the abundant fishing, and there's lots of recreational things we have here on the river, too.
So you're a real believer in the multi-use system of the rivers?
Yes, I am. The river's free energy. Why not take advantage of it?
Don't you love it? The river's free energy. Why not take advantage of it? There's a wonderful simplicity in Easley's comment, a clear logic that shines with common sense. I asked everyone I interviewed for their names, and I didn't quibble with those who only provided a first name. Aaron and Sean were at Riverfest for one reason, their children. But as you'll hear ahead, these young people understand the issues.
We came for the entertainment for toddlers.
And do you know much about the dams on the Lower Snake River?
A little bit about the dams. Dams in general, I guess. I don't know much specifics about the Lower Snake River.
Do you know there's folks who want to breach the dams, take the dams out, so to speak?
I know. There's quite a few that, for the sake of the fish, want to take the dams out. But I'm an electrical engineer on four dams, so I would say no. I studied quite a bit about renewable energy and the fact that dams are one of the greatest sources of renewable energy that we have. And without dams, we would have to use a heck of a lot more fossil fuels in order to provide our power.
There were lots of well-behaved children at Riverfest learning about all kinds of different aspects of the river, including the animals and birds that live along its banks, to the fish that swim in it, the electricity it generates, the barges it transports, the agencies that operate it, and the farmers for which it is a lifeline. Children are the future isn't just the lyric in a song. It's a real thing. And so I was particularly happy to have found 20-something Jessa, who was influenced by an elementary school program she participated in as a child.
I saw an announcement for it, and I like learning, so.
And what have you learned?
Well, it brought a lot of memories back from when we, in elementary school, did salmon raising. And we went and did a tour of McNary Dam. Mm-hmm.
Did you do salmon in the classroom?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Wonderful. She was the one who put on salmon in the classroom. And so, you know, are dams a good investment? Are dams a good thing?
I believe so, yes. They provide a lot of power and energy that is already there.
I was surprised by the number of people I interviewed who understood that the river was latent power and that such power should be wielded. By the way, as you heard me say to Jessa, she was the one who put on salmon in the classroom, I was pointing to Kara Kalber, who was helping me staff the Grain Commission exhibit. Kalber is also responsible for the WGC's successful Wheat Week program, which places teachers in fifth grade classrooms around the state to teach school requirements through a lens of the state's wheat industry. Thanks, Kara. It's easy in agriculture to think that our opinion of the Lower Snake River dams is an isolated one, but I was surprised and gratified by the comments of the people I talked to. Only one of them, Brian Bauman, who you heard from earlier, had a connection with agriculture, but all of them understood the benefits that dams brought the region. I end here with Tom Churchill, a retiree who came to the Tri-Cities from California 13 years ago and fell in love with the river.
Just the fact that it's such an integral part of this, you know, community, and the fact that fishing and, you know, I bought a boat, tried it, enjoyed it, not much of a fisherman. But no, I mean, there's just something special about, you know, the river and how this community interacts. I mean, it's such an economic, you know, value, not just to here, but to the state. And again, when you start thinking about, you know, recreation and, you know, just the opportunity to take your grandkids down out fishing and kind of enjoy the river, no, can't beat it.
How's this for a slogan? The Snake Columbia River System. You can't beat it. Don't forget to obtain your Dam Hero certification by persuading your friends, neighbors, landlords, and agribusiness associates to do what they should have done years ago and subscribe to Weed All About It. People will hand their cell phones over if they trust you and you tell them it's for a good cause. Certainly, learning more about the weed industry and its challenges is a good cause. So help new listeners find their way to the podcast. Then email me at waai@wagrains.org about your successful effort and become a damn hero, or two, or ten. Don't forget to provide your mailing address with your note. I hope you've enjoyed episode 146, or what I entitled, You Can't Beat Riverfest for Dam Education. Please join me again next week for another episode of Weed All About It!
We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat. But there's only one dilemma when it's not enough wheat. We feed you.